My side is wet. It's because I did what men do. I threw my shirt down on the floor in the changing room, and I walked in all wet and stepped all over it. So,
yes,
you know, if men wouldn't throw their shirt on the floor, it probably wouldn't happen. But, you know, it's like in our DNA or something. I don't know. It's something like that. So
anyway, we live with
that's
that.
That's just so awesome, Trishelle.
Yes.
It's so awesome.
And, so cool.
You know, if you've not followed the Lord in water baptism, well, that's really something we think is important. And so I just encourage you to do that. And the way to do that is just give the office a call and go, look, I want to follow the Lord in water baptism. And so it's just something that we love to do, and we think it's really, really important for the follower of Jesus. Well, a few weeks ago, we started this series called All Things New. So we've been in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, go to the New Testament, John, the book of John. And we'll get there in just a few moments to tell you about that. There's a story there that we're going to take a look at. And I bet you there's some parts of this story, though familiar to us, that we've never really considered. And we're going to talk about that today. But we started a few weeks ago, All Things New, and really learning to live in Him for some of us in brand new ways. And what we talked about last week is really a bit of an umbrella for the entire series. And it's this, that God is always present in all of life. Can you say that with me? God is always present in all of life. So there are those moments, that space when we kind of wonder that, I think, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, when life's kind of taking its ups and downs, and, you know, I've just talked about this, when life just pukes on you and you just kind of go and wonder what's going on,
right.
You know, and sometimes our human nature allows us to feel God more intimately when things are going well. But when things aren't going well, we kind of go like, God, where are you? But here's what we know, what we're learning as we live in Him, God is
always
present in all of life. That's capital letters. So we shout it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we started our journey really looking at the life of David. Mm-hmm. And what we saw was this whole idea of how he took control in that moment. When it seemed like his dreams weren't going the way that he wanted them to, he took control of the situation and didn't go well. And so we talked about in our lives, what would it mean to cut the strings of control that we might often want to do, whether that's finances or whether that's our friendships, ways that we say, God, I'm going to take control of this thing that's going on. It was this question of how do we release control back to God? And then last week, we explored the life of Joseph, and it just seemed like moment after moment after moment in a story, there was just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. But what we found to be consistent in the life of Joseph was this statement that God continued to be with him. That even in the hardest moments, in the darkest moments, God was with him. And so there was this question for us that really, how would we live our lives differently if we were confident that God was with us, even in the most difficult of times? How would that change the way that we would live our life? Because we were really talking about that life isn't just like, we wish it would. We wish it would, life would kind of be like, hey, here's the next successful thing. We have a successful moment, and then we move to the next successful moment, and the next successful moment, as if life kind of played out that way. We wish it was like that. But what we found is it doesn't really work out that way.
Yeah, exactly. Life, and that was really a key question we looked at last week. You know, what if we were confident that God is always present in our life? Now, Timothy Keller, that's an author that is pretty well known, and a lot of you have read his books. He said this, the basic premise of religion is this, that if you live a good life, things will go well with you. How many know that's not true? Mm-hmm. Right? The basic premise of religion is, if you live a good life, it all's going to go well. And we know that that's just not true. And when you look at the life of Jesus, who was the most morally upright person like that ever known, right? His life was filled with injustice, rejection, and even torture. So we know that life doesn't always go the way that maybe we would want it to go, or we would even really, really like it to go.
Right.
And so I came across this little graphic this past week, I think really illustrates the point. Mm-hmm. And so here it is. That's our plan on top. Right? We don't want to just like have this smooth sailing right on through life and, you know, when we cross the finish line at whatever age, it's just smooth, right? Mm-hmm. Now, honest moment, how many desire and you want that life? Raise your hand, because all of our hands should be up right now, right? But what we discover is that's not really God's plan for life. God's plan is below. So a little uphill, then some rocky moments in life, kind of uphill, and then he calls us to kind of some difficult times, maybe kind of traverse the bridge there, and then we kind of make it up, and then boom, right? The waters get kind of deep, and we got to swim through that, and then up again, and the storms of life, and then finally we make it home. Now, we sometimes attempt in our life to straighten out the line. When what Jesus calls us to do is to live in him so that our trust and our faith builds. Now, I want to just kind of toss out a thought to you that has really gripped my heart over the last number of weeks. I've shared it with the team, I think, and a number of others, and it's this, that strategy follows abiding. Just think about that. Strategy follows abiding. Here's what we sometimes do, kind of the opposite of that. We have our plans in place, and then we ask God to bless our plans, right? Are you with me? So, right? You've done that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I've done that.
Yep.
And the reason I know you've done that is because you're human.
That's right.
Right? And I'm human, and you're human, and that's kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. So we go, God, here's my plan for today. Now, would you bless it, please? Or here's my strategy, right? And so would you bless it, please? Well, there's an interesting story, and I'll just kind of share it with you. You don't need to go there, but in Joshua chapter 6, and if you've been around much of a Bible reader or you've been around church long, you've heard this story about the walls of Jericho falling, right? Well, it's really interesting how and when the strategy for that came and how it came about. Because Joshua was nearing the town of Jericho, and here's what happened. As he neared, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. Now, if you're going to kind of head into battle and you see a guy with a sword in his hand, and I think he's big.
I kind of imagine it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of big. So what is it you want to do?
Ask what team he's on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you want to know that he's on your team, right? Because that's part of your plan,
uh-huh.
Right? That's part of your plan. And so Joshua, he does that. He goes, are you for me or against me? Are you friend or foe? And the commander of the Lord's army, guess what he says? Neither. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. I'm at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? And do you know what this commander of the Lord's army, the pre-incarnate Christ, I believe, called him to do? Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did what he was told. He worshiped God. He bowed down before him. And then what we discover in just a little bit as we follow the narrative is that the war plan is unveiled, right? So you're going to blow your horns, you're going to march around Jericho, and you're going to shout, and the walls will come crumbling down. An author that I read, Dick Brogdon, says this, 1,000 war councils would have never come up with that plan. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Would have never come up. War councils would have come up with a whole different plan. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. But you see, our plans fall under who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And as we place our trust and we place our faith in him, we learn more and more about who he is and how to walk in faith. Matthew 5, chapter 3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. That's a really important scripture.
It is. And there's even the Message version, a paraphrase of this, says something similar. It says, you are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more God and his rule. And I love that idea, that sense that when there's less of you kind of getting in the way, God is able to do what he's supposed to do. But it's all bound up in this idea of being poor in spirit, being poor, and maybe even think in terms of what it means to be poor financially. I mean, something takes place when we're in this place of poverty, doesn't it? I mean, when we don't know when our next meal is coming from, where it's coming from, how it's going to come about, it's so much easier to find ourselves on our knees, isn't it? But let's be honest, I mean, there's those moments where you're kind of sitting around the dinner table, you got a nice spread in front of you, you got friends over, you're having a good time, family might be over, and they're actually having good conversation that might not be normal for your family, but it's happening. The kids are actually behaving at the table and kind of sitting there enjoying yourselves and thinking, you got a little nest egg that you built up, and kind of sitting back and going, this is good. And quite often, even with that sense, one of our first thoughts is not necessarily to move towards God and say, God, I thank you so much for all that you've given me. I mean, some of us do, and sometimes we do, but usually our default leans more towards the other way, of like, this is what's supposed to happen. I mean, I'm following Jesus. I'm doing the right things. I've kind of put it in order. So, of course, it's natural that I'd be able to have a moment like this at the table. But what we come to see is that when those things start to be removed, when the nest egg goes away, when it seems like the kids are not behaving, when there's strife within the family, when there's a sense of poverty that starts to take place, then all of a sudden our desperation starts to ramp up, doesn't it? Yeah, and so what we find in Scripture is that, that's not just true for us, but it's been happening for decades. But the question is, what do we do in those moments when we find ourselves in a spot where things aren't working out, when God isn't working the way that he's supposed to? What do we do in those moments? And what we find in Scripture is this moment, as Tom talked about, it's a story that's familiar to us, but maybe to look at it from a different lens. And it's in John chapter 11. So we invite you to turn there. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 11. If you have your tablets or phones, you can get there from the YouVersion app. John chapter 11. And as you're turning there, just to let you know what's happening here. We have this guy named Lazarus, and he has sisters, Martha and Mary. And they live in a place called Bethany. And as they lived there, that was the place when Jesus made his way over to that area. That was the house that he hung out at. He really got to know these guys really well. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus. There was a deep connection. When they were in town, Jesus and his crew, they would hang out at Lazarus' house. But what we find is that in this moment that we're about to read, Jesus isn't there. In fact, he's on the other side of the Jericho. And he's in a completely under the Jordan. He's in a different spot altogether. And what we find is he's hanging out there because he recognizes that if he were to be over in Bethany, which is near Jerusalem, the people in Jerusalem, the religious leaders are looking to take him out. And so he's kind of hanging out on the other side. And that's kind of the context that we find ourselves reading this in. So let's take a look. John chapter 11, verse 1. It says, a man named Lazarus was very sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, this is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So listen to these words. So although Jesus loved Martha, loved Mary, and loved Lazarus, listen to what he did. He stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Now, I don't know if you catch that, but that is a really odd statement. That Jesus, who loved Lazarus, doesn't move when he gets the message. I mean, I don't know about you, but when there's a family member who's sick, when there's somebody that you love, somebody that you know deeply, a friend, you hear that they're sick, what do? You get on an airplane, right? You catch a bus. You get on FaceTime. You find some way to connect with that person. But what we find in Jesus is that he just hangs out for two more days.
Exactly, and I think it's really important to us to capture the intensity of the relationship here. As you've described, this is close. So who is that person in your life that when something goes wrong, you call up right now? Mm-hmm. And you just know that they're going to be there, like you said, any second. You know, right. That's the type of relationship that we have here. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days, that's odd.
Yep.
Feels odd. That's hashtag weird. So if you're into social networking, right, you know what the hashtag is, right? It's a way to search for things. So you're going to search for weird, not Jesus, not weird, but what's going on here? Because we don't understand it.
Right.
What's going on here? So let's hit the pause button. But what makes it even a little more challenging is this, that this happened for the glory of God so that the Son will receive glory from this. You got to be kidding. This is going on so that Jesus gets the glory, and Jesus actually delays for the next 2 days. Here's what we're talking about today, the W word. It's not worry, it's
waiting.
Can I tell you that personally, man, those two W words, but this W word, waiting, is so difficult for me. I mean, you're much more patient than I am.
Try to be.
Yeah, you are. it's difficult for me. It really, really is. And here, Jesus is saying, just wait. Just wait. Now, insert your life here. Insert your story. Insert your journey. What is he calling you into in this waiting moment? What waiting moment are you in right now? And maybe you've tried to strategize your way out of it. Maybe you've kind of come up with all the plans, but you find yourself waiting. It's the job, it's the career, it's the relationship, it's the kids, right? Mm-hmm. It's like life, and now you're in this waiting moment, and it doesn't feel like it's working out like it should. Let me just kind of toss out some not-so-private comments that maybe you can connect with, okay, in these waiting moments. God, I'm on a timeline here. Have you said that? How about this one? God, let's get this done now. Mm-hmm. Anyone there? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, how about this one? God, I really don't want to repeat myself.
Treading on thin ice.
Yeah, that one's on thin ice here. But we find ourselves in these waiting moments that feel like God's distant, don't we? Saying, God, like, aren't you ever going to show up? See, think about Martha and Mary's plan, right? So let's get a hold of Jesus. Let's get him here now. In fact, we're going to read that in just a few moments. Let's get him here now. And the plan is, as soon as we get a hold of him, he will be here. Like the next knock on the door is Jesus, right? So he's going to show up, but he doesn't. But he doesn't. Jesus doesn't come. There's a waiting moment. Let me toss out a key point here, something for you to think about, kind of ruminate on for just a moment. We love the idea of following Jesus until it messes with our schedule, our plans, and our dreams. And then we're not so sure. Because God, it was supposed to turn out this way, but it doesn't feel like it's turning out this way. When really what we're going to see is he's calling us into a waiting moment so that his name will be made more famous and he'll be glorified. But you know, the truth is, we kind of follow up these times of crisis, you know, like the dips like that, you know, the challenging times with all kinds of promises, don't we? So we're down in the pit where life's kind of puked on us and kind of dumped on us. And so we make a promise, and it's like, I'm going to tithe now. God, I'm going to tithe now. Or I'm going to start giving now. Or I'm going to serve you. Mm-hmm. And maybe we even go so far as to say, God, I'm going to be a missionary, right? If you just kind of straighten this line out just a little bit, if you would just if you kind of take care of this for me, we've kind of fallen into being quickaholics.
Right.
Quickaholics, you know. And yeah. We all
just want to get it done.
You want to get it done.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And we just try to find different ways. We don't like waiting.
No.
I mean, whether it's going to the DOL or whether it's just going to the store. I mean, the genius person who came up with the whole, like, check out yourself line, like, I just thank God for that person. I mean, I can, like, time myself. I go to the store. I can get my stuff. I can get in line, swipe at myself, and get out of there. It's awesome.
And then you get behind the person that still writes checks.
Absolutely. And that kind of changes the ball game.
Yeah, for
sure. Then there's a trial and testing that takes place.
Right.
Yes, in those moments. But those are just hard moments because it's like we're always on the go. I mean, I would, like, plan my day on a Friday to get out when there's the least amount of traffic because I just don't like it. Here in Paulsbo, like, that's not even Seattle traffic, but I'm still trying to figure out how can I get out when there's nobody else around just so I can get to where I'm going. Because we just don't like waiting. It causes us to do something, doesn't it?
And you know what's really odd?
Yeah.
It's less than like 15 seconds of waiting right there. And everyone started getting nervous.
Yeah.
15 seconds.
Do we answer? What do we do?
Because we don't like the wait.
No.
And not only that, society is helping us out with that, aren't they?
Right.
Like, you don't have to wait anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a Pacific Northwest coffee snob. I just admit it, right? So you are too, so you shouldn't be judging me right now. Anyway, so, but this last week, you know, I go to different places for coffee and la-di-da-la-di-da. But this last week, Starbucks, right? So on their app, if you have it, you iPhone people, you Apple people, sorry about you pocket PC people, Android people.
I'm all right.
Anyway, so guess what? They released this app so you can order your coffee before you get there. And so it says what?
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Pick up more time.
You can pick up more time.
That's impressive.
And then it says order and pay ahead on the Starbucks app. So now, even when you don't have time, you can still have Starbucks.
Ah.
So we're genius. In this culture, right, where mm-hmm. it's like instant now.
Right.
Instant thing. You don't even have to wait. The problem is that kind of makes its way into our relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And lots of us are in a waiting moment.
Mm-hmm. And we have those moments where it's happening all the time, but we have to recognize that's not the life
right.
in God. What we see over and over and over again throughout Scripture are moments in which people had to wait. We see with Abraham and Sarah who waited, had to wait for their child. We see it with Jacob who worked and waited for Rachel to be his wife. We see Joseph, as we talked about last week, who waited in prison. It wasn't like he was out right away. We see it with John the Baptist who waited to be rescued from prison. We see it with Noah who waits 150 days for the floodwaters to recede. We see it with the Israelites who waited some 40 years to enter to the promised land. This idea of waiting that we see throughout Scripture, that's a part of life. That's a rhythm of life. But it is so hard when we live in this society that's telling us to move, to go do it now, get it done now. And what we see is this having to be lived out and worked out in the life of Martha and Mary. And so let's keep reading and see what we come up against.
Yeah, so verse number 7. Okay, so you're right there. Here the story continues. Finally, I love that. It's like, okay, now we're going to go. Finally. He said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. And I love this. Don't miss it. Are you going there again? It's like we're involved in this thing, right? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. And then he said, verse 11, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. And the disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. Like, you don't have to do anything. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. And so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's dead.
Just want to make it clear.
He's dead. He said it plainly. He's dead. Verse 15. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come on, let's go see him. Hashtag conundrum. It's like, what? You know what conundrum is? Do you know what conundrum is?
I bet you have a definition.
Yeah, so it's like this difficult a problem or question like, what?
Yeah.
He's dead, but it was for your sakes.
What's up with that?
Yeah, that's a conundrum. See?
Absolutely.
Hashtag conundrum. So Lazarus is dead. It was for your sakes. Now, let's go see him. And he kind of began wondering, what's going on here? But here's the big idea, if you will, for today. Here's the thought. There was a purpose, and there is a purpose in our waiting.
Amen.
Are you with me? You with us? There was a purpose. That's what we're seeing in this story. And there is a purpose in our waiting. You're in a waiting moment right now. We're in a waiting moment. Is there a purpose? The answer is yes, there is. I believe God allows suffering, pain, crises, the dips in life, the seemingly hopeless moments that maybe we find ourselves in, we're just not sure, you know, what's going on here, so that we will detach humanly from the things that we tend to grab a hold of, which includes our plans and our strategy, detach from those things and cling to him.
Right.
I think that's his plan. And as we do, our trust and our faith grows in him. Just listen to Psalm 63:8. I cling to you, your strong right hand holds me secure. We detach from these things over here, and then we cling to him.
Right. And that, as we continue to talk about this whole idea with Martha and Mary, like just to say, this wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
Like this wasn't what we were thinking. We were just supposed to let Jesus know. Jesus was supposed to come.
You'll be
and
there.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened. And so many of those moments when it doesn't work out the way that we want it to, we can kind of move to this place and say, God has done something to me. Like, you've done this to me. God, why have you done this to me? And maybe one of the things that I want to invite us to consider this morning is this, is that it's not necessarily that God is doing something to you, but maybe he's wanting to do something in you. That in the midst of all that's not working out the way that you would hope, maybe he's wanting to do something in us. So that as he is able to work out the character of God inside of our lives through the waiting, he's actually able to do something through us in ways that we could never imagine. We see this being played out in the life of Martha and Mary. We see this transformation that's starting to take place as they are wrestling with this waiting moment, trying to figure out how is this all going to work out. Let's continue to read in verse 17. It says, when Jesus arrived, he made it there to Bethany where they were. He was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary for their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha said to Jesus, and listen to these words, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you said those kind of words before? Kind of that sense, Jesus, you could do something and you should do something. If only. I know you could have saved my marriage. I know you could have gotten me that promotion. I know that you could have taken care of my kids. I know that you could have healed the situation that I'm in. I know that you could have done something when I called out to you in that moment. But you didn't. But you didn't. Those are difficult moments to be in. What I want you to notice about Martha and the way that she responds to Jesus when he comes is that there is no question about his power. She's not questioning whether Jesus is powerful enough to heal. What the struggle is with her is that Jesus didn't come in the way that she had hoped. He didn't come right away in the way that she wanted him to. And so there's this angst within. I wonder if you've been there before. It seems like Jesus didn't show up in the way that you wanted him to when you wanted him to. Have you been there?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, which, by the way, I think is the point of this story. Mary's saying, look, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. So it wasn't his power, it was his timing.
Right.
Right? Exactly. What waiting place, space is he calling you into right now? Just think about that. Where is he calling you just to kind of draw back and wait? Set your plans aside, set your struggles aside, and wait. We all have stories, don't we? If you were here last week, I shared with you that my car had an accident. if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back online and I'll tell the story on there. But my car had an accident because I wasn't with the car.
So technically it wasn't you.
It wasn't actually me,
makes
you know.
Sense. Makes sense.
And so anyway, it's still in my garage. And because it can't be outside with our weather because whatever, the doors sprung open and all this kind of stuff. But after all that happened, and listen, I know that I'm talking about metal in the neighbor's garage. It's wood. You're talking about, many of you, something that's far more than that. I understand that. But this is where we're living right now. And I honestly felt like, in my nature, is yesterday's, you know, almost too late. You know, if you miss yesterday, like, you're too late. I mean, it's in my DNA, right? I mean, now. That's why it's hard for me to wait. But I honestly felt like in this whole car thing, my nature is like, get it to the collision store, get it fixed, get on moving with life, right? And that's my nature, but I believe that there was a day last week or the week following, when just a few days after that happened, that God honestly spoke to me and said, I just want you to wait. I just want you to wait. It's interesting because I came home and told Jen that. He says, you know, in my prayer, that's the word I got. Wait. Let's just wait. And so that's what we're doing. I don't know if it's wait for a week or wait for a month or just wait forever. We don't know that. But God will reveal his plan. I want to say it again. I'm talking metal and wood. You're talking about some real life issues out there. Where is he calling you to wait? Set aside maybe your plan and your strategy. Maybe that question, God, if you would just show up like right now. I know you got the power, so just show up right now. Yeah. But he's calling you to wait. We know the end of the story, don't we? Lazarus was raised from the dead. But verse 45 says, as many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. As you and Mario was saying earlier, he's doing something in us so he can do something through us. The most important, the purpose for our life is that Jesus is glorified in all that we do and how we live so that his name is made more famous. Here's what we're going to do. And then ask the host team. They're going to come forward. And they're going to pass out that card that you see on the screen here in just a moment. Psalm 62, 5. It's a psalm that we're going to ask you to take home and commit to the Lord. So the host team is going to come forward right now and just begin passing those out. Everyone take one. Pray that you put them in your Bible, put them on your mirror, put them in your smartphone case, wherever you will always have ready access to it. Psalm 62:5, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. In just a moment, Mario is going to lead us in prayer. And I'm going to invite us to do something. That's to take that card and say, God, I'm committing my life to you. I'm committing this moment, this space to you. You called me to wait. Whatever it is, it's a relationship. It's for our kids. It's for the job. It's the career. Whatever it is, wherever you are. And if it's not today, guess what? It'll be tomorrow.
Yep,
it'll absolutely be tomorrow. So keep that card with you. Lord, all that I am, I wait quietly before you, before God, for my hope is in him. There's a couple key points here as you're receiving your cards. Let all that I am, that's our attitude, our actions in life,
right,
our planning, mm-hmm, everything. So let all that I am wait quietly before God. Circle quietly, underline it, do whatever. Just remember that, because that means is, God, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to wait for you. I'm going to wait quietly for you. I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to invite you into my life in a way like maybe I've never done before, because my hope is in you. Our hope is in him. So you have that card. Let's stand together, shall we? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take it and just hold it like this. Mario's going to lead us. We're just going to invite you to lift it up to him. Whatever it is, whatever moment, whatever space that you're in. God, I'm waiting for you. We're waiting on you. I trust in you. So let's do that, shall we?
Let's pray. Jesus, it's these moments that can be so tough because we have come to you over and over throughout life, and we've asked for you to show up, but it seems like you didn't show up in the way that we'd hoped for. And our hopes have been shaken. Our dreams have been shattered. But Lord, this morning we come and we hold these cards before you as a representation of those very things that we called out to you in the past for, and we come calling out to you again. And Lord, we choose with faith and trust and hope, Lord, to say, God, we give that thing to you, all of those things, the worries of our lives, the plans of our lives, the future, Lord, the things that we desire to see you do, God, we lay them at your feet and say, have your way.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we surrender to you the need to have it done now. And we proclaim, God, we want your timing, we want your way, and as hard as it is to move into this space, God, we say that we want for you to be lifted up in our lives, more importantly than we want this thing to take place. We want to see you gain glory more than we want to see this prayer answered. We want to see your name lifted up in our lives. We want to see you working in us and through us so that the world may know who you are more than even seeing this take place. And so we surrender it to you, trusting God that you are big enough, trusting God that you will have your way with it, trusting God that your timing is always perfect. And so, God, we surrender ourselves once again, our very lives to you, and pray that you would have your way with this and all that we are. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Teach us, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
And so that's what we're going to do. I pray from this day forward. Let me just kind of toss out maybe some encouragement or maybe a challenge. You're going to be tested. You know that, don't you? And like the enemy's going to come along, he's going to go, look, you've waited long enough. You've waited long enough.
Right.
And so now is the time. We'll start questioning God. Start asking God, where are you? And what we're going to do is we're going to pull out this card and go, look, I'll wait quietly before God. Amen. And just watch what he does in us and through us. So, Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your word that leads us and guides us. We give our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And a couple things. If you have a special prayer, need special prayer, we're going to be down front here. So come and we'll pray. We'll just believe with you. Also, yeah, there's something going on.
Yeah, we have some tamales that are hanging out in the lobby. We're looking to have a team go to Haiti. And so if you're looking for some great lunch, head out there, grab some tamales. There will be wonderful.
There's a Gateway Espanol.
Yeah, they put them on. So these are authentic.
These are authentic. So it's our Espanol church. It meets over here. So grab some on the way out. God bless you. Bring a friend. See you next Sunday.